This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to River Cafe Table 4, a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios.
I have three brothers. My brother Joe is the eldest. I'm Valerie, the second and the only girl. And then my brother Jimmy, and then the baby is Frankie. And we are a typical mid-20th century American family.
Valerie Biden's family are typical Americans in some ways, but not that typical. Her brother Joe is President Biden, and in today's River Cafe Table 4, we'll be talking about food and family from the kitchen table to the White House. When President Biden's first wife died in a tragic accident, Valerie stepped up to support her nephews, Beau and Hunter. Ice cream, hot dogs, peanut butter, and jelly sandwiches, Val's food memories are made up of American classics. But we'll begin right now with her favorite recipe from the River Cafe.
It's quick sweet tomato sauce. Serve 6 to 8. 3 tablespoons olive oil. 3 garlic cloves peeled and cut into slivers. 2 1-kilogram jars peeled plum tomato drained of their juices. A handful of fresh basil or oregano leaves. Heat 1 to 2 tablespoons of the olive oil in a large pan and fry the garlic until it is soft but not brown. Add the tomatoes with some sea salt and black pepper and cook fiercely, stirring constantly to prevent the tomatoes from sticking as they break up. As they cook, the tomatoes will release their juices. When the liquid has evaporated, add the remaining olive oil, the basil or oregano, and more seasoning if necessary. Serve hot. And I always use the basil, and it's spectacular. It makes me smile because every family dinner, we all sit down and we have spaghetti and meatballs with tomato sauce, tell the same stories and laugh at the same jokes as if it's the first time we ever heard them.
Can I ask you about food at the White House? What's it like when you go to eat with your brother?
At the White House, Joe, the president and first lady, a.k.a. Joe and Jill, they don't have breakfast served. That's a time when you can get up and go to the small kitchen and have coffee or cereal and not have people around, you know, who are very gracious and want to take care of you. But it's just a quiet time. Lunch, my brother is rather a pedestrian eater like I. He'll have a tuna fish salad. Tuna fish sandwich or a chicken salad sandwich. And always, if we can, tomato soup. They make great tomato basil soup. And then dinner, the formal dinner that the stewards set. And it's usually Jill, my sister-in-law, is very conscious of health. I mean, she's what I want to be when I...
When you grow up, yeah.
Yes, when I grow up. And generally, she has a fish meal, salmon and a crust, and delicious. But Joe and I said, oh, we're eating healthy again. Okay.
Do you share a lot of time over food?
It's almost always over a meal, especially since my, you know, brother, when he travels now, it's an entourage.
Yeah.
And it's generally, and it's an inconvenience to other people. I mean, it's for his safety, and we're very appreciative, but it inconveniences other people, you know, to go in the restaurant. So we don't go to restaurants very often. We either at his house or my house and Jimmy Biden's house. Frankie, our youngest, is in Florida, so not at his house, but we sit and again tell the same old stories. We poke fun at each other. And, you know, I have found that in a family that's close or a large family, your place in the family stays the same if you're 60 years old or if you're six years old. Once the baby, always the baby. You know, once the middle, always the middle. Once the eldest, always. And once the only, which is, of course, me. And I would have it no other way. I love growing up with my three brothers. They were a gift to me. I always say that I earned my husband, but my brothers were a gift.
What was food like in the Biden household growing up?
Food was, we always had enough of it to begin with, but it was ordinary. We didn't dine, we ate. But we always ate together every night. We grew up in a middle-class Irish Catholic background. My brothers, as the firstborn, he was born in Scranton, but by the time, I guess, he was 8 years old, my father got work and moved to back home to Delaware, where Dad was from.
But what did your father do?
My father was a car salesman, and then he ended up managing mostly Chevrolet dealerships, different ones here in Delaware. He'd come home for dinner. My father, the one thing about him was he had insisted upon impeccable table manners. My brother Jimmy probably has a left elbow that's still weak from my father smacking it, you know, when he put it on the table. So we had to know what the right knife and fork were and how to pass our dishes. And that was the only thing he was absolutely stern about. And he thought it represented the good manners.
That's right. And I think it is very telling the way people are considerate, in a way, if that's what manners are at the table, and how things have changed. When I talked to Nancy Pelosi, she said that she'd never sat down in her childhood at a table where there wasn't a tablecloth. Was that in the Biden household as well?
Well, what Mom and Dad had on the dining room table was a piece of glass that was fitted, that covered the table so it would save the wood. And we always had placemats, and we always had napkins. And Mom was an ordinary cook in the best sense of the word. I mean, we were hamburgers, hot dogs. My favorite dish at the time was pot roast. She would always make that for me for my birthday. But there were certain rituals. Sunday morning after Mass, we would come home and Dad always made hotcakes. That was a big deal. There are three foods that I never ate when I was a child, and I don't know why, but I didn't like hotcakes, and I didn't like hot dogs, and I didn't like ham.
All the H's.
Yeah, and my mother never made me eat them. So everybody would have hotcakes with maple syrup. I had my Cheerios and milk. The second ritual was, because we were a Catholic family, we didn't eat meat on Friday. So on Fridays, we had Mrs. Paul's frozen fish sticks, which meant that all four children grew up to really dislike fish. I mean, because we had to eat it.
Yeah.
But more often than not, Mom would substitute, and that's when we had spaghetti. Mom made her homemade spaghetti sauce.
What was that? Can I ask you what that was?
Big cans of tomato sauce. I think she would put in a pork chop, but I was not in the kitchen. I was out playing ball with my brothers. We came in, you know, Mom had dinner ready. We sat down and ate, and there were no chores. Like, we didn't have to clean up after the table, or because Mom would always say, my job's to be the mom and your job is to be the student. Go do your homework. Yes. The big deal in the house of food was, if things were good on Saturday night, my brother and I would ride our bike, or if it were bad, Mom would drive us up to the local Cussler's pharmacy where they had ice cream. And we would get a half gallon of Breyers ice cream. And the ice cream was vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Nobody liked strawberry. I think Jimmy Biden was the only one who ate the strawberry. But that was a big deal. We'd have half gallon of ice cream, and we would watch Ed Sullivan Show on Sunday night.
And then when you went to college, did you cook for yourself? You no longer had your mother saying, go and study. What did you do for food then?
Well, I had a meal ticket. And at the time, everybody lived on campus all 4 years. So I didn't have an apartment where I had to experiment. You know, there was a meal ticket, and we ate normal college food.
What college did you go to? Where was that?
University of Delaware.
Delaware.
About 50 minutes from our home. But to me, I had graduated from Ursuline Academy for young girls. But I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I went to the University of Delaware, 5,000 undergraduates, co-ed, and I was in a brand new world, and I loved every single minute of it. And my big brother, Joey, was there too. He was a junior when I was a freshman. And I was there because of him. I was a good student, and I got in Delaware, but my mom and dad were not able to afford room and board, which is what the essence of college was. And I desperately wanted to go in room and board. And my dad told me, honey, look, I can't swing it. You know, you could commute. And my brother in that right after that called a family meeting with mom and dad. And respectfully, we were very, very aware of my father's dignity. And it pained him that he wasn't able to send us both to room and board. But my brother said, Dad, I've thought about this, and here's what I propose. Val's a good kid. She's smarter than I. She deserves college more than I do. So I'm going to drop out this coming semester in September. I'm going to work for the year, save money so that I can go back the next year so that Val could take my place, because she should be able to go to Delaware. She's earned it.
Yeah.
But my father said, my father called my brother Champ, and he said, Champ, you can't do that. Because my dad, it was as in that generation and that time in mid-1960s, my dad assumed that I would get married and have children, and that, you know, the man had to be, was the breadwinner. And he said, you know, you have to raise a family and support a family, and Val's not going to have to do that. She'll have her pick of whatever she wants. But my brother said, no, he wanted to do it that way. And somehow, long story short, Ruthie, and it was late August, right before school started, that my father somehow managed to get a loan, another loan. And I went to the university with my brother. And as I said, I realized what a gift it was from my parents. And I squeezed every single thing I could out of the school. I loved it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. With summer fast approaching, life tends to get busy. Seeing family, friends, hosting dinners, barbecues, picnics in the park, and everything else that comes between. What's also important is that we find time for ourselves to rest and recharge. Therapy can be a vital tool to assist you with boundaries and managing your schedule in a way that helps you stay happy and healthy. If you're looking to find a new therapist or start therapy for the first time, BetterHelp is worth a try. It's entirely online, which makes it easy, accessible, and flexible with your schedule. Completing a short questionnaire will match you to the right licensed therapist for you. If it's not working, you can change for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ruthie today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ruthie.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You were thrust at a very young age into cooking for young children, taking care of your brother's children.
I jumped into domestic life, and you know what? I had a very close friend. Her name was Maureen. She had two young boys who were close in age to Beau and Hunt, and she would give me quick down and dirty recipes, you know, that they like this and they like that. She used to make scalloped potatoes, and she said, get bratwurst, which I didn't know were, they were fat hot dogs as far as I was concerned, and put them on top. And that was a great dish, an easy dish. And I did that. And I served it. We used to have a Lazy Susan in the kitchen. And I served it. Nobody told me to take the skin off the bratwurst. So when I took it off and went to serve it to the boys, it flew off the table. And they said, Aunt Val, I mean, it was always a little bit of humor.
But you were 20, you were 26, you know, cut yourself some slack. I mean, that is very, very young.
When I got the boys and started to cook, I wasn't a cook. I mean, I was an eater. So I made probably most nights of the week chicken breast, which I boiled.
Interesting. Boiled chicken breast.
And came to be known as my rubber chicken. And boiled chicken breast. And meatloaf was another thing that I made. And I would try in the beginning now, and I'm trying, when I had the boys, I'm trying to be healthy. And I tried making flounder and telling them that it was chicken.
Oh,
and their favorite dish. And all of Beau's friends who call me Aunt Val, when, you know, and this whole, these kids who all grew up together, my specialty was egg in the cup. And that was a soft boiled egg. And I never had to time it. Ruthie, I had an instinct. I knew exactly when it was right.
That's impressive, because it's really hard to make a good soft boiled egg. Yeah.
I would put it in the cup along with some shell, always a little bit of shell, some salt and pepper, butter, and I would break up toast and put it in an egg in the cup. And that was Beau and Hunt's, my children and all their kids. That was a favorite meal. Aunt Val didn't really screw that one up much.
It's very traditional. It's very English. I think they call it, as a fellow American, it's called soldiers, isn't it? They make the little sticks of bread and then you dip it into the egg yolk.
That I would give my children with tang, and which they called, I would sing it, do it with a ting, tang, tong. That was the drink of astronauts.
I remember tang.
But it was a terrible time, Ruthie, a terrible tragedy. But it was also a time of healing.
Yeah.
And there was joy. These boys, they loved me full throttle, and I loved them. And they healed. Joe and Jim, we healed as a family. I mean, and there was joy. And as I said, 5 years later, Joe was able to come out of it because he met this wonderful woman, Jill Jacobs, and fell in love. So the best thing that my memories of raising, of being with the boys, what my brother bought me a Jeep to travel around with the boys, and we were up high, and we would look out the window, and we at a passerby, we'd be at a stop sign or a red light, and the boys would look out and we'd see the person, and then we'd go off and we would spin magical tales like where they were going, what do we think that they were doing. The Jeep was like a magic carpet ride, and we always had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and ting tang tong in the back seat for emergency.
If this was the food of everyday life, and you described the meals around the table with after school and before homework, did your parents ever, or did your family ever go to restaurants?
A graduation or first communion or something like that. But we would always have a tray and, you know, bring it home. The big thing that we did in Delaware that we always brought home were hoagies or subs, we call them. And that's when the family gets together, if it's lunchtime or even going into dinner, it's either hoagies where we all grab and go out and sit in the porch on the picnic table, or when we sit down to dinner, it's spaghetti and meatballs. And now it's my spaghetti sauce, which is very similar to your quick, sweet tomato sauce.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At the risk of sounding preachy, but again, from our parents, there was family and there was faith and there was a responsibility to each other. And then that went to, moved over to the community at large. And there are so many people who are in need of food, which is a travesty in this country. And I'm very happy that I'm able to work with the Ministry of Caring. We have 3 places throughout the city that serve food, and it's over 100 churches and synagogues and religious groups and that do that. And I think, I mean, it's just so obvious. If we don't have nutrition, then we don't have energy, and we don't have energy, we don't have power, and we don't have an ability to think and to be on our feet. If we have food shortages, we fall into political problems where you have to cross borders to go. You know, politics is the art and science of living together peacefully while we tussle over the allocation of scarce resources. And with climate change, with our scarce resources, with the fact that in America, only less than 2% of our families are farm and ranchers, we have to be more vigilant, and we have to be aware that we are our brother's keeper.
I'm really glad we talk about this, because talking to a woman who has campaigned, who is political, who is active, who has values, you just define politics in a certain way of caring for each other, but politics is also active. It should be the role of a government to make sure that every child is fed when they go to start their day at school, that they go home to a house where there is food, that there's access to food. And when we look at the poverty in the United States, it is shocking that our children are hungry. I know that the president has tried to push laws through, is working on it. It must be one of the great concerns of his political life.
And it all comes under the umbrella of health. And health for every American should be a right and not a privilege.
And what was food like on the campaign trail?
Well, very, very rarely did we get to go to a nice restaurant. The truth is, the food on a campaign is grab and grow. Applebee's is a great, I presume, great restaurant, but one I never, ever want to walk into again, because every meeting in Iowa was at Applebee's, and we had fried food, whatever it was. It reminds me of campaigning, and I'm not disparaging Applebee's. It reminds me of sitting, trying to talk a county chair into supporting my brother. The foods were what we would pick up, those fruit bars that were supposed to give me energy and nutrition, but mostly it was Coca-Cola, a hamburger, grabbing on the road, and then any, and I mean this in the best sense, any local Italian restaurant was really good. My choice of restaurants would either be Italian or Greek. I love both of those foods.
I suppose my last question to you is to say, if food is alleviates hunger and food is an expression of love, it is also comfort. And so if you were having a day where you just looked at a meal or food as comfort, is there a food that you would choose to give you that comfort?
Yeah, I would have rigatoni with red sauce. And if I were particularly adventuresome, I would chop a salad, because I know how to make oil and vinegar dressing. That's one of the few things I do know that I'm good at. And I would have a salad, and I would have some French bread with butter. I would have a Coke first. And this just shows you how unrefined I am. I would have my glass of wine after, because I wouldn't want to mess up either taste. I know it's supposed to have wine and it's supposed to reflect and augment the food. I just want the red sauce.
Well, you can have whatever you want, Val Biden. You can have whatever you want. Well, thank you very much.
I'm going to come see you, okay?
We're waiting for you. We're going to get that Diet Coke and red tomato sauce and a glass of white wine ready for you.
To visit the online shop of The River Cafe, go to shoptherivercafe.co.uk.
River Cafe Table 4 is a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.